Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. The title of our message today is Gaza Shall Be Forsaken. Now, that's pretty interesting because we're reading a prophecy about something that's still going to happen in the future, and it concerns a place that has been in the news a lot in the last several years, a place called Gaza. Let's read. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 4, for Gaza shall be forsaken. Now, if you're a Bible believer and you read a passage like that, you know what you do? You believe what you're reading. If you're a skeptic or a scholar or you lack faith, you read that and you say, well, I wonder how I can figure out what that means. I wonder how to apply that because it surely can't mean what I think it means, which is that Gaza shall be forsaken. But that's what it means, because that's what it says. You see, Gaza shall be forsaken and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Kerethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. And the seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening. For the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Now, no time in history has that passage ever been fulfilled. And so we know, because it's never been fulfilled, that it's still future. As so many of the passages in Zephaniah that have their fulfillment in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ or in the early stages of the millennium or in the latter part of the tribulation, this is one of those passages that has its fulfillment in the beginning of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, lots of attention has been paid to the Gaza Strip because this is the place where the Jews lived. And then they gave that land up because it was the conquest of a war in order for Palestinians to live in that area, to give them an established place. And this was all in an effort to encourage peace in the Middle East. But this prophecy that we're reading here in Zephaniah, which has never been fulfilled before, is a prophecy that tells us that this land, this Gaza, is going to end up back in the hands of the Jews eventually. And all of these regions, Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, all of these cities, these regions are part of Philistia. Look with me in Genesis chapter 10, verse 19. Let's do a little historical study on this area and see where it's been and who really owns it and all that other kind of stuff. And then we'll come forward to the present day, and we've got to recognize something. Judah, Israel, is going to inhabit that land, and they're not going to live there with a bunch of cities. They are going to use that region for grazing their flocks. That's what the Bible says, and that's what they're going to do. Now, in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 19, we find that in the offspring of Ham, the youngest son of Noah. His genealogy begins in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 10. We find the Philistines, and we find their border. In verse 14, we find Pathrusim and Casluhim, out of whom came Philistim. See, that was the Philistines. And then you come down here to Verse 19, the border of Canaanites was from Zidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza. So coming down the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, starting up at Zidon, which is Lebanon now, down the Mediterranean Sea, you get down to Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and even unto Laisha. Okay? So Gaza's out there west of the Dead Sea. All right. That's where it is. Now, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 41, we find out that when Joshua took the 12 tribes of Israel into fight in the land of Canaan, before the 2.5 tribes returned to the other side of the Jordan River, they had to do battle with the inhabitants of Gaza. Look in Joshua chapter 10 at verse 41. Joshua chapter 10, verse 41, Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. Now what's he doing? He's fighting against kings that have come against him, and he's clearing out an area. And when he gets down into the Gaza Strip, this area called Gaza, he smites his enemies through that area and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. All right? What do we have then? The land that was originally inhabited by the Philistines was conquered by Joshua when they went into the land of Canaan after the wilderness journey, after the Exodus. All right, now once they conquered that land, they didn't just defeat those people that were living there. They actually took possession of the land themselves. Look in Joshua chapter 15 at verse 47. Joshua chapter 15 and look at verse 47. Let's see. To give you the context here, verse 13 of Joshua chapter 15 is the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, okay? And then verse 20, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. And the uttermost cities of the tribe of the children of Judah toward the east, or toward the coast of Edom southward were, and then he begins to list all of those. And you can see if you're looking in your Bible, there's just list after list, verse after verse of cities. Then you get down here to verse 45, Ekron with her towns and her villages. Now we know the region we're in. That's the area of Philistia. From Ekron even unto the sea, all that lay near Ashdod, that's another place of the Philistines, with their villages. Ashdod with her towns and her villages. Gaza with her towns and her villages unto the river of Egypt and the great sea and the border thereof. So what they have done is they have conquered the land of the Philistines, and then they have now not only conquered it, but taken possession of it, and they live in all these regions that are being that are in the prophecy of Zephaniah in Zephaniah chapter 2. Look, Gaza, Ashdod, Ekron, those are the same places that are mentioned. In addition, he mentions Ashkelon, and then there's another place called Gath, which is not mentioned in either of the two verses that we're looking at right now, but it's all in that same region. So those all became part of Judah's possession. Now look in Judges chapter 1 at verse 18. Judges chapter 1 and look at verse 18. Also Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof and Ashkelon. All right, that's mentioned in our prophecy in Zephaniah chapter 2. And Ashkelon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. So that area then becomes the possession of Judah, and they become the inhabitants of that land. Do you understand that? So people say, well, the Palestinians have always lived, or the people that lived in Gaza, that's their land. We need to give that back to them so we can have peace. Well, how far back do you want to go? You know, that the Exodus And then the entrance into the land of Canaan takes you from 1490 to 1450 B.C. And we can see from these passages of Scripture we've seen so far that Israel has been in that land since 1450 B.C. And I guarantee you something. There are not living civilizations today that can point to that land and say that was our land before 1450 B.C. You know why? Because the Jews drove them out of there. And those people that were the offspring of that area don't belong in there. That's land that was given to Israel by the Lord. Now, the Jews did not always serve the Lord God, and after the time of the judges began, they got out of line with the Lord. And so the Lord would send enemies against them to try to straighten them up. One such group of enemies were the Midianites in Judges chapter 6. The Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. All right, well, this begins the passages of Scripture in Judges that deal with Gideon. All right, the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them in verse 3. And in verse 4, they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. So what happened? When Israel got out of line with God, he allowed the Midianites to go into that area and to attack them. And the Midianites attacked in that area around Gaza and destroyed them down there. Now, by the time Samson is around, you know who's living there? Philistines again. They have gone back into Gaza. Look in Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, look at verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Look at verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. You know who that is? That's Samson. And what the Philistines have done is that they've gone back into that land and they've taken possession of it. And now they've got Samson down in there in prison. Where? In Gaza, the very place that we started studying about in Zephaniah. What we're doing now is just going back and retracing the history of that place. So those Philistines come back in there, but you know, remember, they weren't in there in 1450 B.C. And the Lord had given that land. They had come back in there and conquered that area after the people of Judah had inhabited it. Now, continuing on then, looking at the history of the area, we read about what took place in 1 Samuel in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. You know what happened there? The Philistines go into battle against Israel, and the Philistines take the Ark of God. Now, if you read the places where they took the Ark after they had conquered Israel in that battle, they took the Ark to Ashdod in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. They took the Ark then to Ashkelon in 1 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. And then, they took it to Gath, from Ashdod to Gath in 8 and 9. And then they took the Ark to Ekron in verse 10. Now, there are five main areas down there, and they show up variously in some of the passages that we've read. We read about Ashdod, we read about Gath, we read about Ekron, we read about Ashkelon, and we read about Gaza. Those are the five regions of the Philistines. Here, the ark travels to three different places. Okay? And then they say, hey, the hand of God is against us. We've got to send this ark back. And so when they send the ark back, they have to send it back with an offering according to the instruction they received from their priests. And they were to send back 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 4, one mouse, and 1 emerod for each of the 5 predominant regions of the Philistines. So the ark goes back. And in verse 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 6, we see these are the golden emeralds which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord, for Ashdod, one, for Gaza, one, for Ashkelon, one, for Gath, one, for Ekron, one. And those are the offerings that were for that region where the Philistines had taken possession of the ark. Now, go with me, we're going to jump way ahead, all the way to 2 Kings chapter 18 and look at verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 18, and now we're going to go to verse 8. And I realize we're just skipping around, but we're just simply hitting the high points so you know about this land and you know the history of this land. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 8, now we are in the reign of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is a contemporary with Isaiah. And so he is going to be, let's just, you know, use easy numbers. He's going to be in the vicinity of 700 B.C., okay? In the vicinity of 700 B.C. So we've jumped the clock up, way up now. We have moved forward, you know, 500 to 700 years from what we were just reading. As a matter of fact, Saul goes into the throne. He's contemporary with this Philistines that took the ark. And that's going to be around, you know, 1,000, maybe 1,050 B.C. So we've moved forward another 350 years to Hezekiah. And I'm just giving you some rough numbers. But, you know, who's going to, you know, remember it down to the very specific day and the minute? That's not important for the study that we have going on right now. All right, what do we have? 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 8, this is what we have. Hezekiah, he smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. Now, Hezekiah did this when he just began to reign. Okay? And he was able to do it because in verse 7, the Lord was with him, and he prospered. Whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not, he smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And then in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. Well, Samaria is actually taken in 721 B.C., so we're a little before 700 B.C. by this time. All right, what does he do? He takes back that land of the Philistines. That area is defeated. It is again occupied by Israel. So you see, this thing has been a hotbed for wars and skirmishes between Israel and the Philistines for centuries. Why would you think it should be any different today? Back and forth they go. In Amos chapter 1, verse 6, this particular piece of ground winds up in prophecy again. We've seen it in prophecy. We've seen it in history. Here we are in Amos chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Now, this is a prophecy concerning the Lord, and it is a prophecy that has its fulfillment at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof, and I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon, and I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Wow! What's he saying? He's saying, whoever inhabits that land when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and this will be somebody that is not Israeli, those inhabitants are going to die. There'll be a remnant of them left, and they will perish. Why? Because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. Well, to get all that together, you'd have to detract a little bit from the study we're on right now and recognize that in Obadiah there are prophecies concerning Edom. What's happening is Jews have been told to run. We've studied that here recently. They are running away from the Antichrist, and some of them go down through the land of the Philistines, and when they do, they are captured by the people that are there and carried over to Edom, where the Antichrist evidently has some sort of a headquarters or a concentration camp for imprisoning these escapees from Israel, these Jewish escapees. And then they deal with them over there. They try them, they kill them, you know, the various kinds of things that happen to them while they're there. Not really the subject of our message today, except to say that God has a prophecy concerning Gaza. It indicates that Gaza will be inhabited by somebody other than the Israelis before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those people that inhabit that land are going to die, and the person that's going to kill him will be God. And he'll either use the Jews to do it, or he'll come in there with that flaming fire that we've been studying about. Okay, turn with me to Acts chapter 8 and look at verse 26. One more reference to this area that we're talking about, and what we're establishing with these references are really three things. Number one, we are establishing that the latest inhabitants of that land were people who the Jews ran out, and the Jews were the last inhabitants of that land, off and on from 1450 BC until the reign of Hezekiah. You can see Jews taking the land, Philistines taking it back. Jews taking the land, Philistines taking it back. So there is a repetitive history of war in the area. You'll see that the Jews were the last inhabitants under the reign of Hezekiah, and then you'll find this. Nobody was in that land by the time you get to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Desert. You know what a desert is? It means it's deserted. It can have grass on it, but nobody's there. It's empty. No Palestinians, no Jews, nobody. You see? So for somebody to say we have lived there time immemorial, that's a lie. For somebody to say that is our homeland, we've been there many, many generations, that's a lie. That's just simply something sold in political negotiations in order to give some people a place to live that want to live in a place that the Jews inhabited. That's all it is. Okay? Now today the area is inhabited. It had been inhabited by Israel, but now it's inhabited by Palestinians or Hamas or whomever, you know, has finally claimed to actually be residing there. And let me tell you something, that is according to prophecy. In other words, when you read Amos, somebody other than Israel had to live there. In other words, there are people that say, hey, Israel, don't be giving the land away. But the prophecy, and I understand that. You know, I understand that because that is their land. But the prophecy says somebody other than Israel is going to be in that land at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel had to clear out of there in order that prophecy would be fulfilled. And I'm not saying that somebody read the prophecy and then made the decision. They're not concerned about what God thinks at all. I'm saying that God already knew what was going to happen, and what happened is somebody else is living in that land, and the people that live in that land are going to be beat down to a remnant in the battles of the tribulation and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the remnant of those that are left will be destroyed. They'll perish according to the prophecies that we've studied. So there was no Palestinians there, and there are now, and then the other thing is it won't be a desert like you saw in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, but rather it'll be a place for sheep to range and a place for cottages for shepherds. You see that? Let's go back to Zephaniah and read our prophecy now that we've studied the history of it again to see if it doesn't really come into clear understanding for us. Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. So that whole region that's inhabited now by people other than Israel, they're going to be run out of there. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Kerethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall not, or so that thou not be inhabitant, or so there be no inhabitant. Wow. You see who's taking responsibility for the killing? God, I will even destroy thee. And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. And they shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Now, you know something? If you believe what you're reading, you know more than the news media. You know more than the governments of the world. You know more than people who profess to believe the Bible who don't really believe it. You know more than anybody in the world, unless the person that you're comparing yourself to believes the Lord's words like you do, then y'all both know the same thing. And that is, this region is a hotbed for war with Israel. Israel can't be in there when the Lord comes back. The inhabitants of that area are going to plague Israel when they're trying to run from the Antichrist. The inhabitants of that area will end up in a fight with God Almighty. The inhabitants of that area will lose, and Judah will once again be the resident tribe in that area, raising sheep and with sheep folds in that area, and the coast will not be the cities of the region now, but the coast of that area will be for the cattle, for the sheep, for the remnant of the house of Judah, just like you had read according to the history. What do they say? They say history repeats itself. So you're getting ready to see the thing all over again, and it shouldn't be any surprise to you. The only people that are going to be surprised are the people that are negotiating for peace in the Middle East, which is unattainable without the Lord Jesus Christ. But they don't want any mention of his name because his name is offensive. But you're not going to have any peace in the Middle East without the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you need the Prince of Peace, and he's not here yet. When he comes, then you'll have some peace down there, but not until you have some horrible bloodshed preceding it. Interesting to study these minor prophets, wouldn't you say?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.